please to turn with me to a few passages of Scripture. First, reading in the First Epistle to the Thessalonians, page 1427. First Epistle to the Thessalonians, and chapter 1. How ye turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to awake his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 16, page 1225. And verse 16 of chapter 4, and he, that is Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he entered, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. The book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to preach to captives deliverance, and to the blind sight, to send forth the crushed delivered, to preach the acceptable word of the Lord." And having rolled up the book, when he had delivered it up to the attendant, he sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Finally, I'd like you to turn with me to Romans chapter 4, page 1353, Romans 4, verse 23. Now, it was not written on his account alone, that's Abraham, that it was reckoned to him, but on ours also, to whom, believing on him who is raised from among the dead, Jesus our Lord, who has been delivered for our offences, and has been raised for our justification, it will be reckoned. I should speak a little about deliverance from wrath. I hadn't come to that question, but I feel in the light of the reading we had this afternoon, my heart was forcibly struck, and I think yours may have been too, by the fact that a day of terrible wrath and destruction from God is about to break on this world. And I don't want anyone in this room to have to go through what we read about this afternoon. The gospel of the grace of God, the love of God, is preached to you, is delivered to you today to save you from that. And that's why I started by reading in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. Dear friends, we have a deliverer from the coming wrath. The time we read about this afternoon will be a time of unparalleled distress on this world, on this earth. But has never been known before, and never again. And the Lord himself says, if the days had not been cut short, no flesh would go through it. So bear this in your mind, my dear young friends, that we're on the edge of a terrible time, but we have currently available to us the Lord Jesus Christ as deliverer from this wrath to come. We have to say to and deal with a righteous and holy God. That was stressed rightly so this afternoon, that God is a righteous God. And he's righteous in his judgment. He's righteously able to save you, but he's also righteously able to grant. So I would not want anyone, myself, nor anyone here in this room, to have to meet God as judge. But I would like to tell you this evening, that you can meet God as a Savior God, because Jesus is our deliverer from the coming wrath. These believers, these Christians in Thessalonica, had come to Jesus. They turned from God to God from idols. And you know, idolatry is rife in this world. It's not just the worship of a graven image, and there are countries and societies where that is rife too. But in the Western world, idolatry is rife by the pursuit of man of his own ends, lusts and desires. Materialism and worse things can fill people's lives and turn them from God. But through the gospel message, the message of God's love, these believers had turned to God from that. They were, as we speak, Gentiles, which means non-Jews, and they had turned to God from what they'd grown up in. They're growing up in an apostate, evil world. And we, each one of us, I do as much as you, need to turn to God from idols. And it says more than that, not just turn to God, but to serve a living and true God. We present to you tonight God who is a living God. They knew God as a living God in the Old Testament. He's God of the living, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we have to do with a living God. All idols are not living. Not a single idol has ever lived. They're all made by man. In the Old Testament times, graven images and all the rest were made by man. And today, idolatry is man's concept of God. I would like you to have God's concept of man. So that you might turn to God from whatever may be hindering. I don't know what may be hindering you. God alone knows. But he is able to reach into your heart with his love, with his grace, and with his forgiveness because Jesus has died. That is the basis that I could stand here and speak to you about the love of God. Jesus, our deliverer. Do you know Jesus as your deliverer? The one who has saved you from your sins. The one who has been here into this world. And that is why I read the second scripture as to the Lord himself. He came to Nazareth, where he'd grown up, and he went into the synagogue, and he read a most interesting scripture. But he left a verse out. If you look at the original in Isaiah, there is the Lord leaves out the day of vengeance of our God. And that's what we were talking about this afternoon. The Lord came here in grace, in love, in compassion, in mercy to man. And what happened? Israel, he came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jews, and they didn't want him. He wasn't what they wanted. But there was a Jew who received him. And I would like everyone in this room to be able to receive Jesus tonight. Because that's why we're here. We're here to tell you the most wonderful message of God's love to mankind. It is wonderful. Think of that. You think of this world in all its confusion, in all its moral and spiritual darkness, in all mankind's wickedness, and yet God's love has been manifest. That's a lovely verse of scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever might believe on him might not perish, but have life eternal. God has proved his love to a sinful, wicked world by sending his Son, by giving his Son to die for my sins and for yours. if you put your faith in him. To believe in him, that's how the dear Christians in Thessalonica turned to God. They believed Jesus. They believed that he was able to forgive them their sins and able to save them, not only eternally, but also in their lives, present salvation. Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. My dear hearers, a day of wrath is coming upon this world. Make no mistake. Mm-hmm. And unless you believe in Jesus, you will go through a most excruciatingly terrible time. And I wouldn't like to contemplate anyone in this room going through what people, men, unsaved men and women, will go through in this day. Mm-hmm. We need not. You need not. There is no need for you to pass that way. Jesus can be your deliverer. He came in grace. He came to his own. He went even into the town where he was brought up. And he read that wonderful scripture, and it refers to himself. It was prophetic. It was said hundreds of years before he came on the scene. And it was exactly what he'd come to do. And one of the things he had come to do was to preach good news to the poor. Glad tidings means simply in English, good news. And to captives, deliverance. Do you ever feel the need of being delivered? Being delivered from yourself, from your sins, everything that could possibly hinder you enjoying the love of God. We all do. And the Lord Jesus has died to make that possible. The gospel, the good news, the love of God is brought to you because of what Jesus has done. He who was sin apart, the man who read this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, was sinless. You and I are sinners. Most of us, and perhaps all of us, I trust, are saved by grace. But nevertheless, we possess a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus came here in perfection. He was sin apart. Mm-hmm. He was sinless. The spotless Lamb of God. Mm-hmm. Holy, spotless, sinful. And he, we read in Romans, was delivered for our offences. We may be delivered because he took upon himself what is my due, what was my just desert. The thief on the cross could say, we indeed justly, he deserved what he was getting. This man has done nothing amiss. The Lord Jesus is holy and perfect. But in suffering on the cross, the Golgotha, he endured at the hand of God in those 3 hours of darkness all that pertains to sin and sins. The Lord Jesus suffered terribly at the hand of men. But you think of the Lord being forsaken of his God and Father, the one who always did everything that was pleasing to his God and Father, being forsaken on account of sin and sin. The Holy One of God bore my sins in his body on the cross. Peter tells us this in his letter. You know, the love of God is so great. I find it difficult to express it to you because it is so great. It's so wonderful. It's nothing that you or I could conceive of. If you and I had to design a plan of salvation, I am pretty well sure it would be based on something we could do or shouldn't do. But what God has based it on is the precious and wonderful death of his beloved Son. And God has a righteous basis to deliver you from the wrath to come.
Because Jesus has dealt with sin and sins at Calvary's cross. Those 3 hours of darkness, the Lord dealt with sin. So we have a person who's dealt with sin and is well able to deliver us from the wrath to come. Is it the reality of your soul? I trust it's more the reality of mine. You know, it's very easy, and we often, I do, and I speak from my heart, I often lose sight of the glorious person of the Lord Jesus and what he's done for me. The Apostle Paul could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do trust you know or come to know Jesus in this wonderful way. There's no other way of blessing. There's no other way to be in God's favor than to put your faith and trust in Jesus. You know, man in getting away from God tries to deny the existence of God. But we saw again this afternoon how when it comes to the crunch, man has to acknowledge God. And the day is going to come when every knee will have to bow to Jesus. It's a wonderful coming day. The Lord Jesus, the one who was crucified, who was killed here, who was put to death, but who's been raised again. And there again we have in Romans, he's raised for our justification. The one who's died, the one who's been raised again and gone back into heaven is coming to reign. First of all, he's coming for those who belong to him, to take them to be with themselves, to be with himself, to deliver them from the hour of trial, to keep them out of the hour of trial that's coming upon the whole habitable world. That's the practical effect of the Lord Jesus, our deliverer, from the wrath to come. It's not just a negative thought of being delivered from the wrath to come, but it's a very positive one of being with the one who's died to save us, to save us, who's loved us so much, who is going to take us to be with himself. And what an outcome. Are you looking for the Lord's return? Firstly, we look for him to come for the church. And we all, those who belong to Jesus, those who put their faith and trust in him, belong to the church. We've been baptized by one spirit into one body. That's what the true church is, according to the scriptures. And we're waiting for him to come. But there's another day coming later when the Lord Jesus, who was rejected, whose own people refused him, whose Roman power crucified him, he's coming to reign. Over the very city where he was cast out, he's going to reign. The one who suffered there and then is going to reign. Every knee shall have to bow to Jesus. You're invited now to bow to. It's a day of grace. The grace of God means that God loves you in spite of what you are. I'm so thankful. Because if it was down to my deserts, I'd be lost without a home. But it's down to the grace of God, the love of God expressed towards a sinner like me. How wonderful is God? How wonderful is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in Romans we have a little bit of the teaching of the gospel. The Acts of the Apostles, what Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are about the life of Jesus here on earth. The book of the Acts is from the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we read of how the Spirit of God is here and how the church has been set up on earth. And then we come to the epistles, which teach us about many things. Romans is the unfolding, the teaching of the gospel for believers, so that you and I should understand what God is saying to us. In Acts you get the gospel preached, and you get some wonderful accounts. You read the preaching of Stephen, You've got a potted history of Israel right up to their rejection and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Romans, you have the teaching of the gospel, the righteousness of God revealed, the wrath of God. You've got everything there that we have to say to you in the gospel. But here we have Abraham, who believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We're asking you to believe God. Believe what he says. Believe that he sent his son to die for your sins. Believe that he loves you so much that he does not want you to go into the wrong, to go through this terrible day that's coming on the world. Believing on him who's raised him from among the dead. You see, the glorious news of the death of Christ doesn't end with his crucifixion. He went into death, but he's been raised the third day, and he's alive. He is in heaven. He's alive to die no more. He's alive right now. Now I ask, is he alive in my heart? Is he alive in your heart? Do you love him? God loves you, but do you love him? Jesus, our Lord, who's been delivered for our offences, our sins. The Lord Jesus had to go that way because of my sins and yours. He was delivered up for them, that we might be delivered from the wrath to come. Wonderful, isn't it? In order for you and I to be delivered and saved out of this dreadful coming time, the Lord Jesus was delivered from my sins. I think that's the wonder of being delivered. If you've been, I don't suppose any of us in this room have actually been in prison, but it must be a dreadful thing to be locked up, to be denied our human freedom. And many believers are put in prison, usually wrongly, mostly wrongly, but what a terrible thing it is to be deprived of your liberty. That's what being held captive really means. But he has been delivered up for us. Christ, our deliverer, he has become the deliverer because he's been delivered up himself. He suffered on account of my sins and on account of your sins. And now he's able to justify you. Wonderful thing, man. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. God reckoned him righteous. And so does God. If you come to Jesus, put your faith and trust in him, repent of your sins, God reckons you righteous, counts you righteous. Wonderful thing. No court in this world can acquit and justify a person. But the Lord Jesus, God is able to because of what Jesus has done. I ask you, is he your Savior? Is he your special friend? What does he mean to you? Is he just somebody who lived 2,000 years ago, that was a good man, and so on and so forth, that was put to death wrongly? All of that is true. But does it mean anything to you? Does it mean that he has died for your sins? Because he is the only deliverer from the coming wrath. There's no other. No other person. No other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. That's what Paul said at Philippi. Anyhow, God has a wonderful message of love and grace for every one of us. May we each one come to Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other message of hope for this world. The only hope for this world is turning to Jesus. The only hope for you is to turn to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in God. Well, maybe you do so.
All right.